You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network programmed with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's Into Tomorrow for the weekend of July 26th, 2019, always using those Friday dates going into the weekend. So if you're looking for show notes, you want to hear your call on the air, you want to follow up with additional info, and you need to see our show notes and hear things that went on during the broadcast, all 3 hours, yep, 3 hours are available for you at intotomorrow.com. And of course, you want to look, in this case, for the weekend of July 26th. For anything specific, I am Dave Graveline, and we're coming to you from the Dexcom G6 studios. Make knowledge your superpower with their continuous glucose monitoring system. Visit DEXCOM.com. Horatio working with the show out of New York, and Rosmo working with the show out of our Miami studios here in the control room. And who are you?
I think I'm Chris Graveline.
I think you are, too. I was there when you were born. Therefore, you are. And tech news and commentary, and then back to your calls. You may know, if you are not a brand new listener, that we're in the middle of our cool Into Tomorrow hot summer giveaway. And if you are a new listener, stay tuned, because we've got tens of thousands of dollars worth of goodies to share with you, and we're going to tell you what some of those are. We always preface things with no promises, no guarantees, because the attorneys just whip us into shape with that. But here's the deal. If you visit intotomorrow.com, check the post that talks about the summer giveaway, and it's really cool, very easy to get to, top of our site there at intotomorrow.com or graveline.com, if that's easier for you, just like it sounds, same site. And look through the list. If there's two or three items that you could particularly use, and thus the no promises, no guarantees part, but let us know when you call in, because we would much rather get you something that we know you would use and appreciate than just send you something random. Although we do hear from, I think it's fair to say, most of our listeners that say, thank you so much. Whatever you can send will be wonderful. Okay, but seriously, if there's a little something, one or two items maybe, we'll try to get you one of those if at all possible. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Just make sure you ask for a prize that's actually listed on our giveaway.
Now, see, that's important, too, because so many people say, I'd love a new car. Great. So would I.
We've had so many people ask for new iPhones. Like, well, that'd be nice if we ever have been able to get Apple in the last 25 years of the show to send us any things for giveaway.
Exactly. So that's why I recommend strongly. In fact, I insist that you look at the items available. There are so many. You're going to scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And I guarantee you're going to find a couple of items there that, oh, I'd love one of those, or I could really use that. So mention those things. Because, yeah, the prize closet team goes a little nuts when, okay, here's this person from this city, and they had a good call and participated well, and they want a zebra or something. It's like, when did we ever mention we have a zebra? So, you know, that it becomes a bit difficult.
I want a zebra. They're cute.
Okay, now you want it. Well, yeah. Great. Well, if we had any in the prize closet for the summer giveaway, you wouldn't be eligible anyway.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, I know. Some tech news, mayhaps, like this week, the Federal Trade Commission announced a $5 billion settlement with Facebook and required them to provide federal regulators with quarterly compliance reports, all in an effort to resolve a sweeping investigation by regulators into how the company lost control over massive amounts of our personal data and mishandled its communications with us as their users. It is the largest fine in FTC history, and yet still only about a month's worth of revenue for Facebook.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for them because last year they raked in nearly $56 billion.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, this is like a month's worth. And basically, I'm thinking, too bad that the $5 billion won't affect Facebook at all, let alone teach them any lesson.
Yeah, well, and it really shadows the $100 million fine they were just slapped with by the SEC as well.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because the Securities and Exchange Commission's allegations of inaccurate disclosures regarding threats to users' data. So they got slapped with $100 million. But compared to that $5 billion, it's like, oh, no big deal. Write a check.
Well, that's just because the FTC had to one-up the SEC. It's all, you know, it's this whole, you know, it's like softball matches between the departments.
I know. But wouldn't it be neat, though, if we all as Facebook users actually got some of that money?
Yeah, no.
I mean, people could argue, well, you sort of do because it offsets tax dollars in some cases, whatever. But no, it would be nice if they ordered Facebook to send every Facebook user $1,000.
I'm just waiting for Facebook to launch a GoFundMe campaign like everybody else seems to do.
Because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That would be hysterical.
Yeah, but even when they can't afford it, you know, people do that. We've had companies, you know, big, massive corporation tech companies that do Kickstarter campaigns.
I know.
It's like, you have the money.
It's like our friends from Tiffin and other companies, we're blown away. Why are you doing Kickstarter and those kinds of things, Indiegogo, for new product?
You're a multi-million-dollar company. You can afford to get a product out.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, seriously? And then pre-orders so that they can fund it. And oh, my God, I'd be embarrassed.
Speaking of people that need help, John McAfee, 2020 presidential candidate, founder of the internet security firm that bears his name, and eccentric nut job.
We've talked about how much of a nut job he is for years.
He's gone missing.
Oh, really? And he hadn't been talked about in so long. Yeah.
Well, according to a series of tweets from his account, which is being run by his campaign manager, he is believed to have been detained by authorities. Although they didn't say where.
Oh.
According to his campaign manager, data hidden around the world by McAfee will be released if he remains detained. His tweet reads, "If John misses his next check-in, events will be set into motion that I cannot prevent once they have begun.
Oh, please.
John has secreted data with individuals across the world. I know neither their identities or locations. They will release their payloads if John goes missing."
Yeah, how'd that work for Assange?
Yeah.
Still waiting for that ball to drop.
Because, of course, McAfee's been on the run since 2012.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's been tied to a murder or something in Brazil or Belize, one of those B places.
Boston? No. Yeah. No, I don't think so. One of those B places. Well, very good. But that's why you were never a news anchor. Dateline, one of those B places. But, yeah, and also, was there some sexual misconduct at some point, too, or something? I don't know, whatever.
You
know,
apparently, you know, John McAfee basically has said that his only crime is not filing a tax return. It's like, you're okay.
Sure. Yeah, I'll believe that.
Because he was also one of these people that doesn't believe in paying any income tax.
So, nice. So he just wants it to be handed to him.
Yeah.
Oh, we know a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
But, so he's gone missing, but people suspect he's being detained somewhere. By some law enforcement agency or government entity, perhaps.
Right.
And soon, some information is going to be released that, what, will embarrass people or something?
I don't know. I guess we have to wait and find out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, don't hold your breath, but we'll try to stay on that. That's going to be your job now the next week or two, is stay on it and see what happens so you can report.
You know, and frankly, I'm surprised that the company that he founded and is no longer a part of, but I'm surprised that they haven't changed their name.
I know. Well, let's face it, McAfee has had, as a company, and antivirus and so forth, has done very, very well over the years and done great research and helped many, many people in their computers and whatnot. So I think to just up and change the name, what would they change it to? Gone missing.
Or your best. Not McAfee.
Not McAfee. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's interesting. So do stay on that, will you? Promise?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll find out what the B place is.
Yeah. Number one, that's your first mission. And then what other charges there were. And then if info is released, what is it? Even if it embarrasses me. Didn't we interview him once many, many years ago?
I think we did.
Yeah. And I think even then, right afterwards, I called him a nut job to begin with. But anyway, according to data from Bank MyCell, customer loyalty for Apple's flagship device, the iPhone, get this, hit an all-time low. More than one in four iPhone trade-ins in the month of June saw the customer swap to an Android device. Yeah, crickets from you iPhoneies. Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't hear a whole lot of Android people going to become an iPhoney, but an all-time low now, the iPhone. Interesting, I think. But there's other iPhone news, too, like Apple reportedly in talks for a $1 billion purchase of Intel's chip business. Intel doesn't do anything good with it anyway. Apple might as well buy it. It's a deal that could drive development of 5G phones. Apple is still likely, though, to use Qualcomm technology, but an acquisition of Intel's chip unit could certainly move iPhone production largely in-house. Because they've got to get stuff out of China anyway, because that's been an issue. But that could be very interesting, too. And Intel desperately needs the money, so if they get $1 billion from Apple to take over their own chip business, why not?
Dish has made a deal with T-Mobile and Sprint to pay $5 billion for their wireless assets. This would apparently set the stage for the Justice Department to give T-Mobile's $26.5 billion merger with Sprint the thumbs up. The TV provider will pay about $1.5 billion for Sprint's Boost prepaid mobile business and roughly $3.5 billion for wireless spectrum, and it wouldn't be able to sell either of them for 3 years. Mm. According to the Wall Street Journal, the satellite company will be required to offer cell phone service, and it will be able to use T-Mobile's network to do so during a 7-year transition period. This was already under a Federal Communications Commission deadline of March of 2020 to begin utilizing the billions of dollars worth of wireless spectrum it has acquired over the years, or the FCC would revoke its license.
Yeah, they've been sitting on it for years.
Yeah, well, now they have to get off the pot.
Yeah, good.
Also,
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Also, T-Mobile and Dish would both be required to support the new virtual SIM card known as eSIM as part of a deal to make it easier for consumers to switch providers if so desired.
As well they should.
Yeah, I think this eSIM should have been out years ago, because even today, many phones you buy will only work on one or two carriers.
Yeah, and that's nuts, because then you're stuck with that carrier, and as much as they suck, you don't have a choice unless you buy a whole other phone that will work on their carrier, and that's just not right. Just isn't right.
There ought to be a law.
There ought to be. Several reports lately about how healthcare apps have been falling short. Lost in the hype, though, about how there is an app for just about everything in healthcare these days is the fact that most apps fail to enhance the lives of large swaths of patients. And the reason is pretty obvious. Duh. Not all patients have smartphones. Therefore, they can't all use the app. And especially, I think, skewing to a much older group of people that are still using small featured phones or like flip-type phones and so forth, they can't put apps on them. But there are many good healthcare apps, several of which we've talked about on the show and will continue to into tomorrow, if you will, that if you get a smartphone, you can take advantage of these things. I mean, everything from monitoring your blood sugar to monitoring your heart rates and doing EKG kinds of things and just dietary help and all sorts of things. But yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the healthcare apps do fall short, and mostly because most people can't take advantage of them.
You know, I had been using several of those healthcare apps, and then I got tired of them telling me that I wasn't really taking care of myself, so I had to stop using them.
Well, but that's different. You can't blame the app for you overeating.
No, but I can blame the app for reminding me.
Yeah. How dare you? It's an irritating app. Well, why is that? Oh, because it constantly reminds me to be healthy. Well, that is irritating.
Yeah.
How dare it? So that's the other reason why they're falling short, because you actually have to use them and take advantage. Although, has anyone else that might be using MyFitnessPal been having the trouble that I'm having lately when I try to open it up? Takes forever. Used to be able to click on it and then do barcodes with food I'm eating or something, and boom, done. And it gives me the info that I need, carbs, calories, whatever you need. But now I have to launch it like 10 minutes before lunch before it'll fully load, and then I can add whatever it is I'm going to eat. So I haven't been using it much. See, it's falling short. And I try to send a troubleshoot report to their tech support. That's a joke. And all they do is want to promote me to buy the paid version of it. Oh, is that it? So they're slowing it down dramatically for it to load. I mean, it's just loading, 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 loading for minutes. And I guess if I spend money and buy the paid version, then it'll load quickly?
They would never slow down the unpaid version to get you to buy the paid version.
No, of course
not.
No
companies ever do that.
No, that would just be unheard of.
So cell phone carriers never slow down your data to get you to pay for more.
Ha! Never. Joe in, is it Dacula? It's almost like Dacula or something.
Dacula? No, that's Dracula. No, this is Dacula.
I know, but it's without the R. It's like Dracula.
But you don't have to say it with a Transylvanian accent.
Well, I could. Okay. Joe in Dacula, Georgia, listens on AM 920, The Answer. Hey, Joe.
I wanted to ask about the VPNs. I currently use IPVanish, and it was advertised when I was downloading something onto my Fire Stick, and it was a 6-month subscription. It's approximately $5 a month like that. And it's called IPVanish, also on my phone. Wanted to know if you thought there was something out there better that was free that would maybe cover more things, too. Anyway, again, currently using IPVanish, which seems to be pretty good. The app I put on my TV when I'm watching through the TV app, it changes the time because it's changing your locations from day to day. So that's the only negative I might have about it.
Well, Joe, if you're happy with the features you're getting, $5 a month is a good price for VPN access. Now, you can get some free services, but they tend to be very limited. For example, your speed may be throttled, your data may be capped, or you may get assigned to specific free servers that get very overcrowded and slow everything down. Proton VPN has a popular but limited free service. You might want to give it a try. Others like NordVPN will offer at least trials, but in the end, they all want you to pay, and unless you use those networks very casually, you'll probably end up needing to pay. Usually, VPN, virtual private network access, isn't free because VPN networks aren't free. They are physical machines that need to be maintained somewhere, and they are there, of course, are network costs involved.
Yeah, and if you're concerned... And if your concern is privacy, IPVanish is U.S.-based, which is typically not what people concerned with privacy want. Northern European countries are usually the first choice, as they have far, far stronger privacy protections. Other than that, we haven't really heard anything bad about the service. Now, if you stop by intotomorrow.com, we'll have some more information about how to fix your Fire Stick date and time. So we're just flat out of time here. Stop by intotomorrow.com and look for the show for the weekend of July 26th.
There you go. Intotomorrow.com is a place to go.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention military vets and current soldiers who served between 2002 to 2016. Have you or a loved one suffered hearing loss or tinnitus after serving or while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces? You may be entitled to compensation. 3M, the manufacturer of earplugs made for combat, recently paid the government $9.1 million to settle a False Claims Act case for knowingly selling these defective earplugs. If you or a loved one suffered hearing loss due to defective earplugs, call us now for a free case review. Call 800-211-5509. That's 800-211-5509.
Reporting from the front lines of tech for the last 24 years and bringing you Into Tomorrow, I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
The cool Into Tomorrow hot summer giveaway.
Oh, yeah, boy, we've got it going. And all you need to do is call in and participate on the show. It is very easy to do so. 800-899-INTO. With such incredible prizes like...
From Beyer Dynamic, a pair of their $400 Lagoon Active Noise Canceling Bluetooth over-ear headphones with sound personalization.
Ah, very cool. How about from Whistler? A bunch of great stuff like their wireless digital backup camera. That's worth $150. They sent us their tiny dash cam, half the size of a credit card. It's the cutest dash camera ever. How about their two-piece magnetic mount dash camera, their high-performance laser radar detector, or their diagnostic inspection camera? That's worth $200.
That backup camera is amazing, especially if you have an older car that doesn't have the camera built in.
There you go.
From Data Locker, we've got several items, including a Sentry 1 4GB secure USB flash drive and a DL3 encrypted external 500GB gigabyte hard drive.
From iHome, they sent us a couple of things like their Aqua water bottle speakers in a variety of colors and their Bluetooth rechargeable waterproof speakers with voice control.
From Remo Plus, and they just sent more of these because they were so popularly requested, the Remo Bell S smart Wi-Fi video doorbell camera.
Oh, much gooder than the Ring. Much less expensive, and the subscription for the month is much cheaper as well. From One More, their triple driver in-ear headphones with triple driver technology. How about their triple driver over-the-ear headphones, which has studio quality sound, and their stylish true wireless headphones.
From 3Doodler, they sent their 3Doodler Star Trek pen set, a pen and a TV show that's out of this world.
Yeah.
The 3Doodler Start Essentials pen set for kids as young as 6 years old. My 7-year-old has been playing with one and cannot get enough of it.
I know. He's creating all kinds of fun stuff. From E-Technologies, spelled Y-I, we got a bunch of their Cami products. Smart home security starter kits, Cami indoor cameras, their Wi-Fi outdoor cameras, and a bunch more. All you need to do is call this number anytime, day or night, and participate on the program.
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686.
The national debt is now over $20 trillion. What's next? Rising inflation, drops in the dollar's value, some experts say another crash is coming. What will be left of your investments for your children and grandchildren? We know you can fight this, not with stocks or bonds, but with gold and silver coins and an IRA from Augusta Precious Metals. During periods of great volatility, precious metals regularly outperform stocks because they're a true wealth asset that have real value. During the 3-year recovery period after the crash of 08, the Dow only went up 3.5%, while gold more than doubled in price. Call 855-662 6533 and learn how an IRA backed by physical gold and silver can hedge against inflation and build a true legacy for your family. Regain control of your financial destiny and call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-662-6533. That's 855-662-6533. As in any investment, the price of gold and silver may fluctuate over time and you could lose money. Check with financial and legal advisors.
Social media sites have grown leaps and bounds, because many people have this weird concept that by sharing all the details of their lives and activities, they'll be more popular, more wanted. I can't help but wonder how that worked for you in school. Well, if you've got questions about social media, we here at Into Tomorrow have answers. I'm Dave Graveline. Your participation on the program makes the program. Do let us hear from you. You can call anytime, 24/7, with any consumer tech-related issue, question, comment, help for another listener. Share some tech rage if you'd like. The number to call, again, anytime, 24/7 at your convenience, is 800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. I've been looking forward to this next interview because joining us is a guest that presents a practical, hands-on plan to get this, break up and then make up with your phone. The author of How to Break Up with Your Phone is Catherine Price. Catherine, welcome into tomorrow. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, the title of your book got our attention, and I said, well, we talk about this on the show a lot. You know, too many people that are spending way too much time on their phone, or in some cases, it's not just millennials, that have no other part in their life, it seems, than to just be on their device. And there is certainly more to life about that. I love how even on the back of the cover of your book, it says, it's not you, it's your phone, you know, which is so typical where with a breakup of any kind, you know, no, it's not you, it's me. You know, I think we should move on. And it just sort of brings it home, I think, for a lot of people to say, gosh, you know, that's a good point. You know, I can't be beyond arm's reach of my phone anytime. Give me an idea about what possessed you to do How to Break Up with Your Phone, and then let's get into some of the fun stuff you cover.
Sure. Well, I'm a health and science journalist by background, so I'm already interested in behavioral change and the effect that things like phones would be having on our mental and physical health. But I also, a couple years ago, just started to realize I was spending way too much time on my phone, And in particular, it came to a head when I had a baby, and I noticed that there were many times in which she would be looking up at me, and I would be looking down on my phone.
Oh.
And that really upset me. Yeah, not a good feeling.
Yeah.
And once I noticed
good
that,
job, Mom. Right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm over here, no, Mom.
Right. It was definitely not what I wanted to be doing to her or with her. Or, I mean, you know, also, that wasn't what I wanted my experience of motherhood to be like, or my own life. So it really was a wake-up call to say, how much time am I spending on this device? What am I getting out of it? And is this really how I want to be spending my time?
Good point. Because, I mean, something as simple as, and we talk about this all the time for years on this show, do you think life could be so much better if you unplug a little bit? And not just your phone, but your computer and just being online, doing whatever. But think about that. And then most everybody says, well, yeah, of course, it'd be more fulfilling, but I got to see how many likes I have, or I got to post that I'm, you know, looking at a cantaloupe in the grocery store, or any number of things that people immediately, all of us have excuses for why we're still on our phone instead.
Right. We definitely do have excuses. I mean, and just to clarify, when I say break up with your phone, I don't mean throw your phone away. They really are legitimately useful and amazing tools, right? I mean, try to distinguish between things that are actually beneficial, productive, or fun uses of your time with your phone. Separate those from the stuff that's just a waste of time, like endlessly checking for likes or new cantaloupe references or whatever you're talking about. You know, you really want to start to hone in on what makes you feel good or productive about your phone and keep that stuff, and then figure out what makes you feel not so good and work on minimizing or eliminating that.
And I'm sure your research, Catherine, has found the same kinds of things that we've talked about a lot, and that is that phones and specifically apps are designed in many cases to addict us. We've got to come back. I mean, Facebook, probably the prime example.
Right. I mean, I think more and more people are coming to realize that we are not the products. We're not the customers of these apps. We're the products, and it's our attention that's being sold. So for many people, that's a useful thing to think about. It's, you know, wait a second, I'm actually making money for someone else right now by giving them my time and attention for free. With that said, I mean, it's not enough to just know that. You actually then have to take steps to decide what you want your boundaries to be, and then figure out how you can protect yourself, again, to keep using social media in the way that you enjoy, but not letting it profit more than you want it to off of your time and attention.
And I'm pretty sure that most everyone listening is saying, I hear you. I agree. I absolutely, you know, want to break up with my phone a little bit, you know, and still use it. But of course, be productive. But I've still got to be social. And it's I've been calling it the anti-social media lately, because we're not very social when we're just on our phones. But why do you think overall people do need to break up with their phone, at least a little?
Well, it's having lots of effects on us that we're only coming to recognize. It really is affecting our ability to maintain our focus and concentration. It's obviously affecting our sleep, because we're staying up later than we want to looking at our phones, and lack of sleep is associated with all sorts of very well-established health effects. It's also having impacts on our productivity and our creativity, which I think is interesting and upsetting, in that if you're constantly filling your mind with new stuff, let alone probably kind of junky stuff, you're not giving your brain space to process what you've learned or experienced, and you're not giving yourself space to come up with any new thoughts. Hmm. So in a very real sense, I think that our phones are making us dumber, your smartphone's making you dumb. And I think that's something to be really concerned about. And that's for adults. I mean, and then for children, there's additional concerns, such as they haven't developed their brains yet, so it is not, I don't think, the best thing to do to have phones and the type of stimulation we get from our smartphones to be the first kind of shaping that our minds get.
And of course, as a parent, you know, we all realize that, okay, but it finally shuts them up. Fine, here's my phone, or fine, here's the tablet. You know, play the game, do what you want to do, because now they're quiet and we can enjoy dinner, or we can enjoy the TV show, or maybe enjoy the company of others that we are with. And then the problem with that crutch is just that. It's a crutch, and it becomes more and more of a problem where the kids are saying, all I've got to do is make a fuss and then I get the phone. Well, they need to break up with your phone as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think, first of all, parents, we need to take a look in the mirror and see what we're doing, what kind of behavior we're modeling. Because if we're telling our kids that they can't use phones, and then we're spending the whole dinner time engaging in a text message conversation with somebody else, that's not exactly what, I mean, that's not fair to expect them to do what we're not doing ourselves. But I also think we need to talk about it as families, talk about the effect that phones are having, and also recognize that it is a crutch, right? It's very easy to give your kid a phone and distract them. They will be quiet, and you'll be able to, I would like to say, focus on your conversation, but in reality, a lot of times I see parents give their kids phones, and then they go on their phone, so everyone's just on their phone.
Yeah.
But I think you need to recognize that something like reading a book is not intuitively fun or easy. It takes a lot of work to learn how to do it and to enjoy it versus watching a video or playing a game on your phone. So I think it's very difficult if your child becomes used to getting stimulation that comes from a video game or a movie. It's really hard to convince them that, hey, wait a second, it's actually worth looking at this piece of tree with words printed on it, right?
And that's a great point, Catherine, because I think parents are realizing they're just not going to buy that. I mean, yeah, reading a book, you're going to learn something, and they're going to go, uh-huh. Can I please go back to the game? Can I please watch that movie again? Can I, whatever the case? And it's like, it is difficult. I mean, I don't know how teachers do it, you know, except, you know, you can't have your phones out in class or something, but it's certainly, right. It's certainly frustrating, certainly to parents as well.
Well, I think we need to recognize it's not all or nothing. It's not black or white. I mean, phones have many aspects that are amazing teaching tools, right? Like YouTube. I have a nephew who's learned origami based on YouTube videos. So it's not to say that phones are entirely bad or that they don't have a place in an educational curriculum or setting, but they also have a lot of potential negative effects. They're not innocuous, and I think that's what parents and teachers, we really need to recognize and feel empowered that speaking up about. They're not innocuous. They're quite powerful for both good and bad things. So I think that we need to be much more aware of that and start to talk with each other, have this be a subject of discussion at the dinner table with friends, with family, you know, at school, to talk about what impact phones are having on us, and then what we want our relationships with them to be. And what I found in my research is that one of the most, the simplest, but also most powerful things you can do is just simply to become better at paying attention to when you're using your phone and how it makes you feel, and that's how it's affecting the way you're interacting with other people. And the mere act of learning to pay attention and catching yourself is actually a really powerful tool for changing your behavior.
If your phone is the first thing you reach for in the morning and the last thing you touch before bed, maybe we've got a problem. And a lot of us can relate to that. And it's like, well, yeah, because of course it's the last thing because I'm checking to make sure there's nothing critical before I go to sleep. Or the first thing, yeah, what did I miss overnight? Well, it might not be social media. Maybe it's an important email or something. But it's still, now we're back to being our own crutch. You know, we're making our own excuses
right.
as to why it's the first and last thing and can overly consuming us throughout the day.
And also, like, we've gotten to the point where really the smallest accomplishment is an accomplishment. Like, for example, so you normally check your phone right when you wake up. Well, maybe tomorrow, say hello to the person in bed next to you before you check your phone. That's a step in the right direction. I mean, we're really at that point. So you don't need to think that, you know, you have to not check your phone at all during the day. And that's the definition of success. It's baby steps.
One of my favorite chapters of your book is Why Social Media Sucks. And it's exactly the kind of thing we've been talking about. They lure us in, and it is about, unfortunately, about likes. And, oh, I wonder if so-and-so saw this. Hey, did you see my post? Well, you didn't like it. You know? And that,
right, right. That, when you start to think it's like something, if you don't get a like on Instagram, but something happened at all, it's like a tree falling in the forest. And you need to be like, well, yes, it did happen, and you probably enjoyed it more if you weren't immediately posting it. I mean, but I find it to be very hypocritical of the social media companies to talk about how they're supposedly all about helping us engage in meaningful interactions, quote unquote, when in reality, they're really just trying to get us to spend more time on them.
Oh, of course.
And I like to point out to people, one of the things I found the most fascinating is the similarities between a social media app and a casino. You know, casinos don't have clocks. They don't have windows, and that's so that you lose track of time. And if you notice the endlessness of social media feeds and the way they're designed, they're very much deliberately designed to make us lose track of how much time we're spending on them so that they can make more money off of showing us ads.
Never thought about it that way, but you are absolutely correct. And now, one thing that you said, which kind of caught me, you talk about the challenge and then you'll send an email with helping us out and so forth. Well, gee, I'm sorry, Catherine, but I've got to pick up my phone to get your email.
You can check it on your desktop. Although honestly, I mean, again, people are like, oh, isn't that ironic? Because I recommend all sorts of like things like app blockers and time trackers and things for the phone. Isn't it ironic to use technology to protect ourselves from technology? And
yes.
I said, well, no, it's actually, you're dealing with a, you know, you're dealing with a, as you were saying, an addictive device, and you need to have, and you're trying to use it while you're still being addicted to it. So it makes a lot of sense to me to use the tools that are available within that device to help you get better at putting it down. So to me, I think it's just really, you know, you have to recognize and appreciate tools.
Oh, for sure. And use them wisely. And as you said before, we're not saying don't ever be on Instagram and Facebook and tweet and so forth. Of course you want to do those things if you've been doing them, if you care. I do have some friends, even as the host of the tech show, that say, oh, I don't do any of that. I don't tweet. I'm not on Facebook. I don't Instagram. What the heck is that? Whatever. Wow. You know, it's 2018. You do know that, right? You know? But some
right,
people,
right.
Some people don't have that issue, because they just don't care about the social media stuff. And it's like,
well, you also, yeah. I was going to say, you can also, you can use social media without getting sucked into it. You can say, like, I don't care particularly about likes, but know that for your business, it's important to post new, you know, information or to use it as a tool. So again, it's not all or bad or good, but you need to be aware of how you're being manipulated and used, and then make sure that you have a clear purpose for what you're doing. So
yes.
That you kind of, you know, it's transparency. It's like knowing what everyone's up to and being okay with that.
Catherine Price is the author of How to Break Up with Your Phone. You've got to check out her site. It's very easy. Phonebreakup.com. Thanks so much for joining us on Into Tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
We're back with more as we continue. I'm Dave Graveline on the Advanced Media Network.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief, the best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation.
Call 800-619-3424, 800-619-3424, 800-619-3424.
Optima Tax Relief.
Every day, in almost every way you can possibly think of, the digital revolution we're living in is changing our lives. Into Tomorrow is here to help, hopefully, make it easier for you, more productive, more fun, more interesting, at the very least. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the 24/7 stream of Into Tomorrow at our website at intotomorrow.com.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History.
Here's Chris.
History.
This week in 1964, Ranger 7 sent back the first close-up photographs of the moon.
Oh, yes.
Hey, it was exciting.
With images 1,000 times clearer than anything ever seen from Earthbound telescopes. In 1971, this week, the first men to ride in a vehicle on the moon did so in the Lunar Rover vehicle. This sort of lunar dune buggy carried Apollo 15 astronauts David Scott and James Irwin for 5 miles on the lunar surface. Their first stop at the rim of the Elbow Crater was televised back to Earth to millions of viewers.
Never send a human to do a machine's job.
Except we did send humans.
Yeah, and a machine.
Yes.
And they did a great job.
In 1998, this week, Bell Atlantic Corp. and GTE Corp. announced a $52.8 billion stock swap deal to create the second biggest telephone company behind AT&T. The resulting megacorporation, later to be named Verizon Communications, would begin with 63 million local telephone lines in 38 states.
Most illogical.
Anybody have local telephone lines anymore?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't know anyone.
And this week, just 1 year ago, in 2018, Apple became the first U.S. company to be valued at over $1 trillion. 3 companies have now reached that status and are constantly battling to be named the world's most valuable company. Apple, Microsoft, and not surprisingly, Amazon. Also not surprisingly, Google isn't far behind those top 3. That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
Have I mentioned in a while that it will be our 17th year broadcasting from IFA in Berlin this coming September?
You haven't mentioned that since last week's show.
Well, then I should mention that.
Yes, you should.
Do you know what happens this September in Berlin?
What's that?
IFA.
Whoa!
And we'll be there for our 17th year.
Wow.
Broadcasting, interviewing a plethora of exhibitors. And you don't want to miss a minute of those. As a matter of fact, if you have not had a chance to participate yet, what are you waiting for? In our big summer giveaway, we're allowing calls through our IFA broadcasts. And then that's it. Boom. Bingo, bam, done. Summer giveaway's over. Now, you still win stuff when you call in, and it's just not maybe the big stuff. So 800-899-INTO, what are you waiting for? Join us.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-295-4183 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-295-4183. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early, like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-295-4183. 800-295-4183.
Want a really good laptop but don't want to break the bank? Maybe you're looking to upgrade your desktop or trick out your gaming system. Maybe you're looking at a tablet these days. Well, you know, you can call us at Into Tomorrow anytime. We're happy to provide our input for you, if you so desire. And that number to call anytime, 24/7, by the way, it's toll-free from anywhere in North America, and qualify, because once your call airs, you automatically win in the big summer giveaway, is
800-899-INTO. That's 800-899-4686. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by Dexcom. Always know where your glucose is headed, and fast. Visit Dexcom.com. That's DEXCOM.com.
Dwight in Brookhaven, Mississippi, listens on Super Talk Mississippi. Hey, Dwight.
I just want to let you guys know that I got my noise canceling headphones, mixed cater, and they are super. I have a friend that has a pair of the Sony upper level, and they're very comparable. Just want to let you know, I appreciate it, and I'm enjoying them. Thank you.
Well, it's our pleasure, Dwight, and thank you for letting us know. It's always nice to hear back from listeners that appreciate the prizes that they get. And we, of course, he doesn't qualify again for the summer giveaway because he already won those Mixeter headphones, and he likes them. I like how he compared them to the Sony headphones that his friend has, and he says his are just as good. And they're considerably less expensive than the Sony. So those are among the summer giveaway items. Do you get our free once-a-week tech newsletter? If not, by all means, my goodness, you should. Visit intotomorrow.com. A little box pops up if the internet gods are with us. And we ask only for your email address, which we share with no one. And then you, too, can receive our tech newsletter, which I know it's unbelievable, has tech news, has some thoughts, has Beth's tech tip, has other goodies, and you're going to get it, I'm sure, intotomorrow.com.